10 from the Green Bay 22. Red Ellison motions to the backfield. Bridgewater shotgun the tailback, Joe Banyard. Bridgewater back to pass. Fade right to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! A 22-yard touchdown. The first National Football League touchdown for Charles Johnson, the former Packer.
Welcome back. It's another edition of Everything Purple. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw from the Vikings Entertainment Network, coming to you from Winter Park inside of Xfinity Studios, and I'll be with you for the next 30 minutes or so. We're going to highlight some of the best content the Vikings Entertainment Network had to offer over the past week. Later in the show, you're going to hear from Tom Block, a former service member who was honored by the Minnesota Vikings during the Green Bay Packers game. We're also going to hear from Phil Lodeholt, but before we get into all of that, you're going to hear from our Pro Bowl kicker, Blair Walsh. I have a podcast that we run every week on Vikings.com, about 20 minutes, and Blair was this week's guest. The first thing I asked him, what's it like kicking in the new home stadium?
It's been interesting, to say the least. We've had some bad weather games and some really nice weather games. You know, it's definitely a very windy stadium from how it sits and because it's open end on that one end. But it's been interesting so far. I like the atmosphere from the crowd, and you know, so that aspect of it has been nice. But from a kicker standpoint, the winds aren't as friendly.
Yeah, it's you know, it really makes you think about someone like Robbie Gould for the Chicago Bears,
who's
you know, going to go down as one of the most accurate kickers in league history, and he did it all while kicking at Soldier Field. And we know all too well, you know more than anyone, how difficult it can be to kick there.
Absolutely. You got to have a great appreciation for guys like Robbie and guys around the league who play in bad weather games, guys in Pittsburgh and sometimes New York. Just, you know, yeah, you're always getting hit with bad weather.
San Francisco, where it can be very,
very
windy, you know. And that factors in. Is that something for you? Your pregame warmups is less about going out. I mean, it's a big part of his stretching and hitting field goals. But you guys are going out there like you're meteorologists almost. You got to check out the weather, don't you?
Yeah, Jeff does a lot of that too. He likes to go out there and analyze it to a T. Mm-hmm. I sort of just come out there and just get a feel for what it's doing. You know, you got to be aware of the wind and the conditions, but you can't overplay it and let it get into your mind. You guys go out there and do your job. You got to realize that sometimes you're actually more powerful than the wind. So, you know, there'll be a time where you feel it going slightly right to left, but if you play it too much, you could miss it right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you got to trust your leg strength and your power, and just sort of go out there and do your job.
I know that you like to play golf and you're very good at it, and so was Ryan Longwell, who was kicking here before you, and we talked to him about this a lot. I mean, the swinging motion with your leg or with the club, and then the mental approach. I mean, there are a lot of similarities there.
Very similar, and it's funny you say that. I just brought my clubs in yesterday from the garage because I don't want the shafts to get messed up with the weather.
So, sad day.
Sad day. But, yeah, very similar motion. I think the biggest thing is that you're both out on an island, essentially. You know, when you swing a golf club and you hit the ball, it's directly your result of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I sort of feel like that's the same with kicking. Now, there's definitely other aspects where you snap and the hold and all that, but, you know, 99% of the time when your foot hits that ball, you should make it. And, you know, so there's very similar aspects to it. And, you know, you could draw on each other.
Yeah. When you go out there with Jeff and Coach Prefer and Ficken, assistant special teams coach Ryan Ficken, and you guys figure out, okay, this is the wind, this is the direction, this is the strength, this is what we think, this is our number for the day where you think you can hit a long field goal. Do you communicate that at all with Coach Zimmer before a game or during a game, or do you relay it to Mike Prefer and then he talks to Coach Zimmer? How does that go?
We communicate it right before the game. You know, I tell him what my distance is on each side of the field. The crazy thing is that when you play outside, it changes, though, throughout the game. So you could be on a drive and you thought your distance was 55, but all of a sudden the wind switched. It's a little bit crosswind in your face and you're going, hey, coach, you know, it's really 50 right now. So, you know, you got to always be ready to communicate and have an open communication line with the head coach and with Coach Prefer.
So you go to both guys and kind of talk to them about it. That way both of them know. And then I'm sure Prefer and Zimmer talk about it, but you like to actually talk to Coach Zimmer about it as well.
Sometimes. I go to Prefer first, and if he needs further clarification or somebody wants, you know, me to tell him that I definitely can make it, then I go to Coach Zimmer.
Yeah. I thought, you know, we were going to have a chance for an onside kick, I thought. Now, we ended up not doing it, and you guys try the pooch kick. But do you practice onside kicks every week? Is that something that a professional kicker works on?
Absolutely. It's part of what you do. It's part of your repertoire. And, you know, you got to go in there and just be ready for any situation. And we had practiced onside kicks. We had practiced onside kicks from the 50 as well. So we knew what we were going to have to do, and it just came down to what we wanted to call. You know, schematically at that time, and I think we were just ready to stop the run. And you know, we wanted the kick a little bit shorter. I can admit that for sure.
Yeah.
To try to make them take it out and you know, stop the run afterwards.
Is part of it the luck of the bounce on an onside kick, or do you feel like you can really control what happens?
I think there's actually two different ways. You're either going to get a really, really lucky bounce from hitting just a hard ball across the ground, or you're going to perfectly hit that high ball in the air that goes about 11 or 12 yards that it's just a free-for-all.
Yeah.
But the problem with the high bouncer is that it's kind of unpredictable. You don't always know what's going to come off your foot when you're trying to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, both methods work, and there's other guys who I saw the Dolphins kicker do a little crazy behind the back thing, which was kind of ineffective, actually.
But, right.
yeah, it just depends.
I think when all is said and done, you have the easiest job on the onside kick, though. Who I don't want to be is the guys who are responsible for running ahead of the ball and basically taking out players on the receiving team, clearing the way for us to recover it.
For sure.
And that's the worst job.
Actually, I'll one-up you. The worst job is going and getting the ball for the receiving team.
Yeah, on the other side.
Because if that ball's high in the air, good luck.
You'll never have to worry about that.
Nope, I know.
what are your goals here over the final five games of the season? I mean, you know, there are probably some team goals that feel like they're getting out of reach, but you still have to go into every contest trying to put your best effort forward. So how do you approach the rest of the season?
Finish strong. I think it's important how you finish as a player and a team. You know, if you win the last couple games, it's definitely going to set you up for the next year in the off season. So I think that's our mantra right now, is to finish strong, to, you know, to realize that there's 5 weeks left and we have all off season to think about these last 5 weeks. So why not look back and say, hey, I gave it my all. I did the extra stuff I needed to do to be prepared and perform.
You're 17-21 on 50-yard field goals in your career. That's the most since you've entered the NFL. What is it about you and the 50-yard kicks?
I've come to enjoy them. Whenever we go out there and you sort of see that you're beyond 50, it's just another attempt, and that's the way you got to look at it. But I enjoy kicking the 50 yarders because you're expected to make them, but not all the time. And you know, it's kind of almost like a home run in baseball. It's that extra, you know, bonus on the end of each kick.
Yeah. Well, a few more touchbacks and maybe get a couple more of those, and you may be kicking in Arizona in February at the Pro Bowl.
Never know.
That'd be all right.
Yeah, a lot of good kickers this year, though. So.
Yeah, there are, and you're one of them.
Yeah,
so
thanks.
Thanks for joining us, Blair.
Absolutely.
From a player you do know very well in Blair Walsh to one you may not know very well, Charles Johnson, our new receiver. He caught his first career touchdown against the Green Bay Packers last week. He was interviewed by Paul Allen in this week's edition of Vikings Game Plan. Take a listen.
This is Charles Johnson, wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. Charles, Paul Allen, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Things going well for you this year? We just saw your first touchdown. That was your first touchdown not only with the Vikings but in the National Football League. Felt pretty good, didn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. I can't even lie. It was even more exciting to be against the team that drafted me. But, man, I kind of wish we would have won. It would have been so much better. But, I mean, it was exciting. I can't take nothing from it.
How much of any experience did you have working against 38 Tremont Williams? Because Tremont seemed like he wanted to mix it up with you a little bit during the game, and you were having a lot of success.
When I was there, I mean, I got a lot of work with them. Going on practice squad, I got to go against them every day. And, I mean, they always work with me. They always help me. They always taught me things. So, I mean, it was just great, man, to go out there and compete with those guys.
We've seen you make some receptions earlier in the year where you will have a different celebration than you had after your touchdown yesterday. What did you do after you scored, last Sunday? What did you do after you scored last week?
Oh, when I scored, because, I'm on Instagram and Twitter and social media, so I did the hashtag Johnson. Right. Try to get my followers up because I don't got many followers. So I just hashtag Johnson so they could search my Instagram name and stuff. And then I did a little little thing that we do back home, me and my homeboys, and just something I made.
Where is back home?
Northern Kentucky.
What tell us about yourself and getting to Grand Valley State, then to Green Bay, to Cleveland, and subsequently here. What's it been like for you?
It's been crazy, man. It's been bumpy, but I mean, that's how my life has been so far, man. It's been a lot of obstacles I have to overcome, and I mean, I fought them all on, and I mean, that's made me to the person I am today. I mean, getting to Grand Valley, I mean, I suspended from one school, going to a junior college in California, taking a year off because my dad's sick, then finding home at Grand Valley, which I'm very fortunate. I'm lucky I found that place. Then it's going to the NFL, Green Bay, plagued by injuries. After that, I got the opportunity I thought I had going to Cleveland with North Turner and them, but I go there, during my physical, they see their ACL's torn. Because of recovering from ACL through training camp, I didn't get to do as much. But now I got to come here back with North Turner and Scott Turner, and I mean, I'm just trying to take advantage of my opportunities.
Charles is very fast. He's very athletic. It's great to have him on the Minnesota Vikings, taking on the Carolina Panthers today. You and Teddy Bridgewater seem to work well together. Teddy, a rookie from Louisville. Charles in his second year from Grand Valley State. What do you like about Teddy's game?
Man, he's so poised. He's so confident, man. I always tell everybody when they ask me about Teddy, he's a veteran in a rookie body. He doesn't get too flustered. He just goes out there and plays, and I mean, he just loves the game. He's so poised. I don't know. I think he's going to be a great quarterback.
The two-point conversion, let's take a look at that. You scored on the two-point conversion after the Jennings touchdown. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Was that the same play? Did Norv run the same play, back-to-back plays?
Yeah, we ran
Jennings on the TD, you on the two?
Yep, we ran the same play. We just mixed it up a little bit.
How do you sell that?
That's just something we always do. We just try to mix up formations and personnel and try to see if we can sneak another one in there.
Now, what is your Twitter handle and or Instagram handle? It's an opportunity to show the Vikings game plan crowd here, so maybe you can get some more
My thing is at Mr. Incredible, at Mr. underscore Incredible with two R's on the Mr.
And show us the hashtag?
Hashtag Johnson.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right, it's time to take a break, but first, a programming note. Join host Mike Mussman along with Vikings safety Harrison Smith for Vikings Country tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the Penalty Box in Ramsey. You could win great prizes, including tickets to watch the Vikings from the Miller Lite Party Deck. Visit Vikings.com/Vikings Country for more information, and please stay tuned. More show to go. You're going to hear from Army Soldier of the Year Tom Block, a Waseca, Minnesota native, later in the show, and also Phil Lotholt. Don't leave. We'll be back.
51-yard try, right hash. Snap spot. Walsh's kick is up, and it is good!
There you go.
Blair Walsh is now 17 of 21 in his career from 50 yards and beyond, and he kicks the Vikings to within one. Second and goal from the 5. Teddy back to pass. Loop left. Caught. Greg Jennings. Touchdown! A 5-yard touchdown from Bridgewater to Greg Jennings. And Jennings finally scores on his former team.
Welcome back. It's Everything Purple. I'm your host, Mike Wabshaw from the Vikings Entertainment Network. We have more to get to, but first, for the largest selection of new Vikings novelty items and apparel, look no further than the Vikings Locker Room Store. Visit the location on the east side of Mall of America or visit VikingsLockerRoom.com. All right, last game against the Green Bay Packers, it was the Vikings Salute to Service game, a military-themed game you may have noticed from watching on TV. So our next two segments that we're going to bring you tonight are both military-themed. The first, you're going to hear from Tom Block, who is the Army Soldier of the Year, and he joined Vikings Connected. Hosts Ben Lieber and Aaron Newberg interviewed him. Take a listen.
I think everybody can see you are busy right now in Kentucky, and you're hunting deer, but you were named the Army Times Soldier of the Year for 2014 for your time in Afghanistan. And let's just start there. You know, what happened that night in Afghanistan?
We're doing a raid on this compound on this guy that we were following, and we had good intel on him and everything, and landed and started running up on the compound, and we got up there, and guy in a suicide vest got within about 8 feet of me, blew himself up. The only thing between me and him was his buddy that I had by the shirt collar. He pretty much saved me. They both kind of vaporized, and I got sent 35 feet to a minefield. My buddies came and got me out of there within 10 minutes of being hurt. So, you know, hats off to the men on the ground that night that performed so quickly, and they saved my life. It's no joke about it. If they hadn't got me out of there fast enough, I probably wouldn't be here today. I sustained, lost my right eye, collapsed lung, multiple burn and shrapnel wounds. You know, I wasn't going anywhere. I was bleeding pretty bad, and, you know, they got me out of there just in time.
Where does this strength come from, this inner strength, that you get blown up by these insurgents, but yet you don't miss a beat, you continue to be a soldier, and you continue to be upbeat?
If I just give up and not do anything for the rest of my life, then they win. And I like to win. I don't like people like that especially winning either. So naturally, I'm going to do my level best to keep my positive attitude and keep moving forward with my life and perform to a standard that everybody else should, that I expect everybody else to meet.
On the lighter side, you came home, and just like you were saying, you keep fighting. You lost an eye, but you gained some street cred with the Captain America there. I was showing my two younger boys earlier. They thought that was pretty cool. What influenced this? How did you decide to go with Captain America?
In the movie, he's quoted as saying, "I don't like bullies." So I kind of follow the same rule. I don't like bullies either. So I thought it was kind of fitting. And I mean, nothing screams freedom like a fake guy that has a Captain America shield.
That's right. What's the response? You go out and you give these speeches. You recently went to the Oakland Raiders and talked to them as well. What's just been the general response to your speech and the feedback you've gotten?
Yeah, clearly my motivational speaking to the Oakland Raiders is really working. So, it means a lot and everything, and the reaction's always been positive. Everybody, and when I talk to people, I talk about leadership and teamwork, and you know, it's your buddy to your left and right that matters most, and you know, they'll get you through it, and you'll get them through it, and it's just having that perseverance that no matter how bad it gets, it can always improve, it can always get better, and you can always move past what you're in right now.
That's a good lesson for all of us. A good lesson for the team, too. Speaking of the Vikings and the NFL, are you a Vikings fan? Can we count on you cheering this Sunday?
Come on. Of course I'm a Vikings fan.
Well, you're from Waseca. I was expecting it, but had to ask.
No, I understand. I completely agree. We have those lost souls that somehow find their way into the promised land of Minnesota that decide they need to root for the Packers, but you know, we'll be good Christians and forgive them of that.
So, speaking of the game this Sunday, you're blowing the Gjallarhorn, right?
That's what I hear.
Yeah. Are you ready for that? It's a big job. You're kicking off the game.
I got big lungs, so okay. Hopefully.
What's your advice to the team if you had to give some advice? I'm going to guess that hopefully they bring you in and have you have a chance to talk to the team, but if they don't, here's your chance to kind of talk to the fans and the Vikings players.
Hey. Today, we go out in the field, and it's about the man to your left and right. You do nothing but win, and you drive hard, and you just keep giving it all until you can't give any more for your buddy, and he'll do the same for you. And at the end of the game, you have nothing left to give, and you gave it your all, you can say that. You can't say, oh, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. You gave it all. You left it all on the field, and you can come out with a win today. Heck yeah. Sounds great. If you don't, hopefully you learn something from it. We just move on and keep going for it.
It's wonderful advice, Sergeant Tom Block.
Well, thank you so much. I know you've got bigger things to do there in Kentucky. You've got a big buck that hopefully is waiting outside of your deer stand there, and you can shoot him down. So best of luck. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your service, and always appreciate soldiers like you.
Continuing with our salute to service theme, we're going to bring you Phil Lotholt. The military, very important to him, and he has it in his background. Learn how in this segment of our Emmy award-winning show, Vikings Beyond the Gridiron.
Growing up, Vikings offensive tackle Phil Lotholt always knew the importance of this country's brave men and women.
Yeah, it's a little south of Colorado Springs. Fort Carson is the Army base there, and then Fountain is a town right next to it where a lot of the soldiers live at when they retire or even while they're in the service. So, you know, it's just a military area, a family-oriented area. You know, it's a beautiful place, great mountains and stuff, scenery and things like that, and I really enjoy it.
His father, Philip Lotholt, has devoted his life to helping protect America with his countless years in the service.
It meant a lot. You know, he used to go overseas a lot. He would be in Korea. And then, you know, that would have my mom having to kind of raise me and my sister on her own just for that time he was gone. But just knowing that he was over there putting in the work for the entire country and coming home, it was always great. So, I mean, it was a great experience for me.
Sunday's Salute to Service game takes on extra significance for Phil Lotholt. It is a day the Vikings pay tribute to all the men and women who have defended this country, and a game that goes well beyond the 60 minutes of football for Phil and his family.
My father being a veteran now, and his friends being a veteran, it's not always easy for those guys. And you know, just the fact that Americans stop and applaud those guys and let them have their day, I know they feel good about it. My dad definitely enjoys it, and I know the rest of the soldiers do as well.
A day of pride to see the support for our country's unsung heroes.
He does, you know, it's a day that everyone's paying respects to him for the time that he put in for his country. And he definitely enjoys the fact that all of America supports the troops.
Lotholt knows firsthand what his father's sacrifices have meant to this country and the lessons it has taught him in life. His ability to achieve his dream and reach the NFL, become one of the game's top tackles, and be a great father.
Oh, it's great, you know, just trying to implicate some of the things that my parents did in me into them. It's a lot of fun. You know, you walk around, you see like a little you walking around. You know, I got two boys and a girl now, and it's just exciting seeing them grow up every day and being able to be with them and raise them and try to do a good job at it like my parents did.
Being a role model to his kids, Phil Lodeholt takes the countless lessons he learned growing up to become the man he is today. One of his biggest inspirations in life showed him what it meant to have courage, make sacrifices, and the bravery needed to protect others. He will run onto the field on Sunday as a Viking, an American, and a proud son.
Everyone on the team, everyone in the organization has the utmost respect for the soldiers. And you know, like I said, anytime they come around, it makes us happy, and everyone goes out of their way to make those guys happy when they come around the facility or to the games or anything like that. So it's always good to see how much even guys with no military background, the respect that they have for our soldiers.
Always good to hear from Phil Lodeholt, one of my favorite guys on the team. He's been here since 2007 when he was a second-round pick, and he's been through a lot of battles. We've gone to the playoffs three times with Mr. Lodeholt. I'm not sure how much more of him we're going to see, though, as he came down with an injury from the Green Bay game and may not play the rest of the season. Hopefully he can recover quickly. If he can't, you're going to see some guys on the depth chart who are going to have an opportunity to prove themselves, and maybe they can earn a roster spot over the offseason and stay on the roster going into next year's training camp. The Vikings and the Panthers, they play this weekend. They play Sunday at noon from the University of Minnesota. It's kind of a quirky game. I mean, this is two teams that have a combined three Charles Johnsons. You have defensive end Charles Johnson from the Carolina Panthers, and then you have offensive lineman Charlie Johnson from the Vikings. You have wide receiver Charles Johnson from the Vikings. And, of course, we're going to see Joe Webb, former Viking and fan favorite. Joe Webb plays for the Carolina Panthers. They signed him to kind of be Cam Newton's quasi backup. Even though they have Derek Anderson, they wanted a guy that had a little more of Cam Newton's skill set, so they signed Joe Webb. So we're going to get to see him. And then, of course, you have the Khalil brothers. Matt Khalil's our left tackle. His older brother, Ryan Khalil, is the center for the Carolina Panthers. So lots of cool storylines in that game. It's Sunday at noon. You can hear that game all across the Vikings radio network. Paul Allen, Pete Bursich, and Greg Coleman will have the call. I'm your host, Mike Wabshaw, on behalf of producer Mike Harris from the Vikings Entertainment Network. That is this week's edition of Everything Purple. We wish you a happy Thanksgiving, a good night, and we leave you on a good note.
Teddy out of the shotgun puts Rhett Ellison in motion. Jerick McKinnon to the left of Bridgewater, two-point conversion. Teddy looks right, pumps, dumps over the middle, and it's caught for the two and by Charles Johnson, and a flag comes in, late hit, cheating Packers.
There we go.